Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. I don't know whether you remember it or not, but as Jesus Christ came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit of God, he went into the synagogue, and there was given him the and he opened up scriptures to find, and I can't remember exactly where it was in Isaiah, but it was in Isaiah, and he began to proclaim anointed, and he was the one that God was going to use to preach the gospel. Thinking of tonight is the fact that you have 1 Corinthians chapter 16 found already. The scriptures that they brought to Jesus didn't have chapters, didn't have numbers on the verses. It was just a continual writing. But he had read out of that book, in my opinion, enough times, he knew right where to go. Amen. I'm thankful that our Bibles have books, chapters, verses to help us grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity." Amen. You can be seated again tonight. This small portion of scripture we're reading to start with here this evening. But I want to preach tonight the motive of great things. Do you want to do great things for God? Or have you even thought about it? The motive of great things. Sometimes, as human beings, our aspirations are not very high. Sometimes we just shoot low. That way we're pretty confident we can make it. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, but yet at the same time we realize, as we read Scripture, that Scripture admonishes us to shoot higher. Reach higher. Believe higher. Go higher. I mean, everything in Scripture is always pressing us in an upward direction, in an upward way, going beyond where we've already been. Amen. And it's already been shared here tonight, as different ones testified of, you know, how that, like Sister Lindsay testified, that she has read the Christmas story and the Christmas story and all the scriptures there around for at least probably 29 times. It's a, you know, we're going to take up a special offering at the close of this service. And we're going to get one that costs a little bit more than that one did. Amen. And, of course, that one there is probably about 16 years. Well, no, that was not 16 years old, but it's, it is probably 10, 12 years old. And, you know, I used it every Sunday, every Sunday night. Well, it does get used every Sunday night, every Thursday night, in any special service. That one is always getting used. So it is a piece of electronics. It's been a good one. We may have to put it to pasture. Literally, I'm going to throw it out there. No, I'm just joking. Amen. Praise the Lord. But anyway, back to our message here tonight. Amen. The motive of great things. Now, the great things that I'm going to talk about tonight are not going to probably be the great things that may be upon your mind, but hopefully by the time that I'm through, we will see that they need to become great things upon our minds. I'm going to deal with verse number 13 to start with, and Paul starts out, he says, "Watch ye." Now, isn't it strange in your mind, why would Paul be telling the most powerful force on the face of the earth, "Watch ye"? The church, filled with the Holy Ghost of God, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But yet Paul says, "Watch ye." That lets me know that if this is going to happen, that I'm going to have to make sure it happens in my life. If the power of God's going to go forth, then I'm going to have to make sure it's going forth in me personally. And Paul is talking to the church, and he's giving this warning or this admonition or this word of encouragement, however you want to look at it. And he says, "Watch ye." And that terminology is an exhortation. And it is to warn them, remind them, dangers, temptations, different things that surround them. It means to keep vigilant. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. I don't know. But this is making it rough tonight. It really is. Means keep awake, to be vigilant. It's a military metaphor derived from the duty of those who are stationed as sentinels to guard the camp or to observe the motions of the enemy. The term is frequently used in the New Testament, and the duty frequently enjoined. In other words, this is not the only place where it is used in scriptures. It's not only used in the epistles. It's used by Jesus Christ himself, and it is continually given to the believers. That lets me know then there is a warfare going on. And that lets me know that I've got to be aware of what's going on. I've got to watch. I've got to be alert. I've got to pay attention. Whether it's watching for others and helping others, or whether it's watching the enemy and how he's coming against my life. Once again, wisdom. Oh, wise men, still seek the Lord. Brother Matthew was testifying about that, and the reality of how wisdom, and we've preached on it, how important it is to be wise in the hour that we live in, because the enemy is not going to sleep. The enemy is not going away. And the enemy is after you and I, because we are after Jesus Christ. And that then puts us in the position to where we've got to watch what's going on around us. Amen. In Matthew 25 and 13, he says, "Watch therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Once again, be alert. Be sober. Be vigilant. Think about it. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Jesus Christ spoke those words to the disciples. Mark 13:35 is another account of it. "Watch ye therefore. For ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning." That kind of lets me know that we as human beings have this problem of not watching, not paying attention to what's going on around us. The signs of the times are everywhere. They are everywhere. It just amazes me how there are so many things going on in this earth, in just the earth itself. All right. Who's got the tuning fork out there, and who's putting the interference to this? Acts chapter 20, verse number 31. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Wow. For 3 years, he was warning the church. You go read that chapter. You go read what he was warning them about. He was on his way to Jerusalem. He knew that he was headed for bondage. He knew he was headed for prison. He knew he was headed for perils and difficulties. He knew where he was going, but he also knew what was coming on the land. He knew what was coming behind him. He knew the gainsayers. He knew the evildoers. He knew that there were seducers. And he said, there's even going to be some of you rise up and deceive. Wow. He said, I've been warning you. I've been telling you. Once again, that speaks to me that they weren't paying a bit of attention to him. Because if he had to keep warning them for 3 years, that means they weren't listening to what he was saying. And then he went on to say, and even some of you are going to rise up and become false teachers. He saw it. He knew it. And he warned them, and he warned them, and they didn't listen. So we see here then one of the great things that you and I can achieve for God is watching. Being alert. Being attentive. Hallelujah. Because a lot of times when we think great things for God, we're thinking miracles. And don't misunderstand me. I'm praying for miracles too. I want to see God move in a miraculous way. But some of the greatest things you can accomplish in the hour we're living in is to make sure that you are watching and you are aware of how the enemy is coming against you and the church. So that your prayers will be on target and not just vainly out here somewhere for worldly things or selfish things. You know, that's what, you know, the Bible says, it declares, you know, sometimes you have not because you ask not. And then sometimes you don't get what you've asked for because you're not asking for the right thing. And I guess that's why Jude said praying in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So we can get it right. Praise God. Hallelujah. That goes past what we want. That goes past what we think. And that moves right into the realm of what God wants to do. Amen. Is when we move into the praying in the Holy Ghost. But see, that's part of watching. Watching. The sense here is that we're to watch, to be vigilant against all the evils of which he had admonished them. The evils of dissension, of erroneous doctrine, of disorder, of false teachers. They were to watch lest their souls should be ruined and their salvation endangered, lest the enemies of the truth and of holiness should steal silently upon them and surprise them. They were to watch with the same vigilance that is required of the sentinel who guards a camp, lest an enemy should come suddenly upon them and surprise the camp when the army was all asleep. Watch. That's the great thing you can do for God in these last days, is watch. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Being firm in holding and defending the truths of the gospel. Do not yield to any foe, but maintain the truth and adhere to your confidence in God and to the doctrines of the gospel with unwavering consistency. Be firm in maintaining what you believe to be true and in holding on to your personal confidence in God, withstanding all the arts, insinuations, and teachings of seducers and the friends of false doctrine. Once again, stand fast in the faith. Know God's word. Know what you believe. And be ready to give an answer. Amen. For the hope that lies in you. Amen. That born again experience. Hallelujah. From God Almighty that birthed that hope of the coming of the Lord, that newness of life, and entering into that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Standing firm in the faith that our relationship with God is the number one priority of the child of God. This is why debate doesn't get you very far. Knowledge doesn't get you very far. You need the type of relationship. Brother Hatfield preached on revelation by relationship. Amen. That is the only way revelation comes. Hallelujah. Any knowledge obtained by mere mortal men and mere knowledge of the brain is not going to be the power of God working and moving in the life of an individual. It's that relationship with God, and God begins to build newness of life in that individual, and they are walking with God, and they become that mighty moving force that walks across the face of this land. Now, it's already been mentioned of how that, you know, they're taking Christ out of Christmas. Been doing it for years now, but it's escalating. It's escalating. Why is it escalating? Because somewhere the church didn't put Christ in Christmas. Somewhere the church didn't stand up and watch. Somewhere the church, and when I say the church, I'm talking about the church globally, anyone that claims to be a Christian. I'm not talking about just Calvary Lighthouse Church. I'm talking about every denomination that's out there on the planet Earth. And every denomination had its birth in Jesus Christ. But they didn't watch. They didn't stand fast in the faith. And thus they lost the power of God and the relationship with God, and it just became a way of life. I'm just going to drop this in here tonight. You know, where's your Christianity at? Is it just a way of life, or is it your life? Amen. Because somewhere, at some point in time, it has to become your life. It has to become alive in you and motivating you to great things. Hallelujah. Oh, stand fast in the faith. Be firm. In other words, it's not talking about being critical. It's not talking about being arrogant. It's not talking about standing toe-to-toe and debating with someone. It's talking about keeping your heart, your mind fresh and new and full of the Holy Ghost. Standing fast in the faith, knowing that's how to live for God. That's how to walk with God. That's how to have power with God and honor with God, as God is having His full way in me. Praise God. Glory. It's amazing to me, and I know it's been talked about and testified about. But, you know, Christmas time, you just really begin to ponder the Christmas story, because it's part of our faith. And it's exciting. It's exciting because it lets me know fresh and anew how it all came to pass. And how that the Holy God of heaven brought it to pass 2,000 years ago, and He's still bringing it to pass today. Amen. I've got Jesus Christ in my heart and in my soul because He brought it to pass. And He's keeping it alive. Woo, hallelujah. He's keeping it alive in me. Hallelujah. And that's why it never grows old. It never gets boring. Hallelujah. And why? Because it's fresh and it's alive and it's new and it's stirring inside our hearts and our souls. Hallelujah. Because it is the motivation of work, of great things. You see, that's what great things are. Great things are not what we think per se are great things. Great things are what God says, I want in your life. And if you've got it going on in your life, brother and sister, it's a great thing. Hallelujah. It's a miracle come from God if you're living for God tonight. Because left to ourselves, we will go astray. We will begin to do our own thing, walk to our own drum, walk to our own thought patterns, and we'll be lost. If the miracle of life does not stay moving and stirring in our hearts and our souls, that Holy Ghost of God, hallelujah. Oh, you see, it's just standing fast in the faith. And his next statement is only found in the New Testament right here. It says, quit you like men. He's not saying quit and give up. That's not what he's saying. I mean, at first glance, you know, we think quit. Oh, he's telling me to quit? No. The terminology is it's time to get up and do what you know you're supposed to do. Quit you like men. Don't sit there and waller around and say, well, I wish I could. Get up and get it done. We're all sometimes lazy, aren't we? Sometimes we just push that off because we just don't feel like doing it. And that's not necessarily always wrong because, you know, if you've already done 15, 20 things, you can drop the next one and do it tomorrow. That's okay. You don't have to get to that place where you think, well, it's on my list, so I got to do it all today if I die. Well, that's moving to that realm of pride. You know, I mean, you know, I can get this done, and I'm going to do it till I, you know, that's not what I'm after. What I'm after is a continual reality. It's not going to get done if I do not allow God to do it in me. It's quit you like men. In other words, get to that position. Position yourself. Prepare yourself. Wow. Quit you like men. And this is the only place in the New Testament where this shows up, but it's not the only place in God's Word where it shows up. Because the similarity of it is like in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 6. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Praise God. Wow. I mean, when the task looks like it is insurmountable, it looks like that there's just no way that that can really be done. That's when God says, be strong and of good courage, because that's what I want you to do. Amen. Hallelujah. You're sitting in a wonderful sanctuary tonight because some people were strong and of good courage and just kept at it. Amen. And we're just kind of in a coasting mode right now. Brother Pepper's being nice. Actually, Sister Pepper's being nice. But come January, Tuesday night and Saturdays are coming again. Because there's still lots of work to be done. Amen. We're gonna start out the new year with a fresh work detail. Praise our God. Got a lot of things we just need to wrap up and take care of and things like that. But be strong and of good courage, because that's really what God wants done. That's one of those great things. Just doing what God wants done. Amen. Doing great things. The motivation of great things. Let's read on. Verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Notice the adjectives. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Are you catching what God's telling Joshua here? Joshua's saying, you've got to be strong and you've got to be courageous if you want my blessing. If you want my hand upon your life, then you're going to have to rise up here just a little bit too. You're going to have to do, once again, that's what he said, keep my commandments. You're going to have to make sure you're doing what I ask you to do. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. In other words, don't get off on this rabbit trail. Don't get off on this rabbit trail. Make sure you're right there in the center of the road, that balance of life, serving the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Hallelujah. So that the Lord then can bless your efforts. Amen. we got to understand there are principles in God's word that if we don't abide in them, we can't claim his promises. We just can't claim his promises. I mean, that's just, we got to understand that. And so many people sometimes are, they're trying to claim the promises of God, but they're not being strong and they're not being courageous. They're not quitting like men. They're not rising up to play their part. And thus, God cannot really prosper them the way that he wants to. And it's not because he doesn't want to. It's because they won't play their part. In 1 Chronicles 28 and 20, David said to Solomon, his son, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Once again, this terminology, be strong and of good courage, that means, and do it. Don't be afraid to do it. Don't be afraid to rise up. Test the waters. You have not, because you ask not. And sometimes you don't ask, because you know it's going to be a lot of work. Woo, praise God. Amen. Never run from work. Be strong and of a good courage. Amen. 2 Chronicles 32:7. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Syria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. With him is the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Amen. See, they had to listen, and they had to believe. Hezekiah was just telling them the same thing God had told Joshua. King David had told Solomon. Hezekiah had heard from God, and he was telling them, we've got to be strong, we've got to be courageous. There is an army out there that surpasses us in number. They are bigger. They are stronger. They have more weapons than we do. Whoa. But we have something they don't have. God is for us. You go read that story and you see how that the king of Assyria, how that, you know, propaganda. You know, just trying to bring doubt, trying to bring fear, trying to make the people doubt what Hezekiah said unto them. He even went to the place, if I am remembering correctly, where he said, God has sent me to destroy you. Whoa. I've had a few folks that come to me and tried to tell me God told them about what I needed to be doing. And I just smiled at him. I said, okay, well, that's great and that's wonderful. And when he tells me, you can rest assured, I will do it. Amen. You see, he heard from heaven. He conveyed it to the people. The people believed and they knew God was with them. This terminology means to render one manly or brave, to show oneself a man. That is not to be a coward or timid or alarmed at enemies, but to be bold and brave. And then his next phrase or his next statement. He's already said, quit you like men, but now he says, be strong. This is kind of like, be single-minded. You've already heard from heaven. You already know what you're supposed to do. You already know you have the power to do it. Now stand on that and go forward. Be strong. I mean, be firm, be fixed, be steadfast. Amen. Ephesians 6 and 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, all these encouragements or admonitions or directives seem like a little difficult to do from time to time. But you know, I've found through life that if you get the right motivation, you can do anything. If you get the right motivation. He said all this. And in verse 14 he says, let all your things be done with charity. Okay, let's back up here. Watch ye with charity. Stand fast in the faith with charity. Quit you like men with charity. Be strong with charity. What is that? What's that love of God? Ooh, hallelujah. The motivation of the child of God is the love of God burning in his soul. That love of God filling his soul. That love of God in his heart. That love for God and that love of God coming down upon my heart and upon my soul. You know just as well as I do, as you step into the presence of God and the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon your soul, at that moment of time, you feel like you could do anything for God. Because that love of God is flooding your soul. That confidence of God is resting upon you. That presence of God is overwhelming you with joy and peace and power. Hallelujah. And you have no problem making promises at that moment of time. But what happens when you go out the front door? Where's your motivation then? It's going to have to be that same love of God. Amen. We get touched by the power of the Holy Ghost so that we can walk therein. But sometimes we just walk right out. This is where we need to make adjustments. Instead of walking out of the presence of God and thinking we're done, we need to begin to realize we're not done. We have just begun. Hallelujah. Woo. Worship doesn't stop just because you got tired. Worship doesn't stop just because it's kind of lulled a little bit. Hang on with the pastor. And I have observed church services for many, many years. And I have watched as individuals get blessed by God. And they're blessed by God for about 5 or 10 minutes. And then they go sit down and watch. Why? Because they think they're done because they got blessed by God. And that is where we're making grave mistakes. You just got blessed by God. It is now time to pray. Woo! Hallelujah. It is now time to worship. Hallelujah. It is now time to serve. It is not time to go sit down and think you're done. But that's what we as humanity do so many times. I'm guilty. We get blessed and then we back off. Instead of press forward, hallelujah, and walk in what God has blessed us with and how he has touched us and move on into worship in a greater way and a greater magnitude. I realize sooner or later we're going to have to dismiss the church service, but you should be dismissed while you're praising God, while you're worshiping God, while you're serving the Lord, while you're taking full advantage of his presence in this place. We're going to have to depart, but it doesn't mean we have to be done. Woo! because it should follow you right out to your car, and you should be so filled with kindness that you treat everybody kind when you go out to eat. And you leave them a nice tip because they served you well. And you have generosity flowing from your soul. And you know it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so you get, you just, what is it? Called Christianity is what it's called. Hallelujah. It's called the motive of great things. It's a great thing to be kind to someone. Did you know that? Especially if they do you wrong. I mean, everybody can be nice to somebody if they're nice to them, huh? What are you going to do if I bop you? You going to still be nice to me? Probably so, because you're about 10 times bigger than I am. You know, sometimes that doesn't make a difference for some folks. It's always the little guys that get you in trouble. I've noticed that all through the years. It's the little guys that they want to be big guys, and they just bring it all on, and they say, all right, you take care of this. Let the big guy take care of it. No, but see, that's what it's all about. The motive of great things. The greatest thing that can flow from your lips is kindness. The greatest thing that can flow from our heart is forgiveness. I'm talking about great things. The greatest things in our lives are not some feat that we do or some job that we fulfill. It's just simply walking in the Spirit of God and producing the fruit of the Spirit. That's a great thing. Whew. Stop and think about it just for a moment. How many days are you fruitful? Compared to how many days you're unfruitful? Start writing it down. I'm just as serious as I can be. Because if you really don't know, watch ye. Woo. Pay attention to how you're acting. Because if you don't know how you're acting, you ain't paying attention then, are you? That's just the way I am. That means you ain't paying close attention to the way what God wants you to be. Hello, watch you. The motive for great things is taking that love of God that He so richly pours out upon us and using it to bring glory to His name in everyday living. Everyday living. Did you know that you can bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ when you're all by yourself? See, sometimes we get in our mind that, you know, well, you know, somebody's around, then, you know, I'll do right so I can bring glory to God. Well, if you're not doing right when no one else is around, you ain't bringing any glory to God. You're just doing a men-pleasing thing. You're just trying to save face when you're around folks. But if you want to bring glory to God, that's when you're all by yourself. That's when your thought life and your private life is bringing glory to God. Amen. Because it is your desire to bring glory to Him, you're going to be doing it 24/7. But if your desire is to have glory of men, then you're only going to be doing it when you're around folks. See, all you're wanting is the favor of men. You're not wanting the favor of God. And if you're not wanting the favor of God, then you're not really wanting to go to heaven. You're just fooling yourself. Yeah. 1 John 4:19 says we love Him because He first loved us. I love Him because He's the one that died for me. I love Him because He's the one that laid down His glory and become vulnerable flesh. He's the one that put Himself in the care of Mary and Joseph. He's the one that abided in the flesh. He's the one that grew from the time he was a baby to the time he was a man in this earth. And it was not with near the conveniences we have at all. He never got a driver's license. He never got a car. To my knowledge, he had to borrow a donkey. And he only had the clothes that he had on his back. I don't think he had two pairs of shoes. He just one. He walked everywhere he went. And he depended on everybody else around him for his food. Or, there we go, he labored for it. Because that's the way it's done. That's the way it's done. That's what the Bible teaches. And if that's what the Bible teaches, that's what my Lord, my Savior did. If he needed to labor for a little while, he labored for a little while. Amen. And so we see then, the motive of great things is having that relationship with Jesus Christ, to where his love is a greater motivation than myself. Because if myself is the only motivation I have, it's going to be a low motivation. But if that love of God is my motivator, it's going to take me to places I've never been before. And I'm going to begin to do things I never thought I could do. I'm going to be kind when unkindness is coming my way. Because I'm motivated by the love of God. I've been in the presence of the King, and I know that's what he wants me to do. Woo, hallelujah. You see, there's the factor of being in the presence of the King, and that motivation of charity, that love of God. No longer am I observing everything from a self perception. I begin to observe things from a Christ perception. And my motivation is totally different now, because my motivation is him now. That's what I've got to keep alive. That's why Paul said, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, because you've got to have this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to have this motivation of love. You've got to have this presence of the Lord alive and well in your soul, or you will fail in a fail-proof plan. That's why Paul wrote to the church to pay attention to what you're doing, how you're acting, how you're living. Rise up a little bit and walk with God. That's why Christ died. That's why the Lord Jesus came as that baby in a manger, that you and I could walk with God. Woo, hallelujah. That you and I could know God, that you and I could know his voice, that you and I could know his presence, that you and I could know his power, and that you and I could be a light to shine on the face of this earth. And our light is not shining just because we say, I'm a Christian. My light will only shine when the source of the power is Jesus Christ through the Holy Ghost, which is the love of God. Oh, hallelujah. You wonder, a lot of times people get tired, why does the preacher always talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost? Why is it always in his vocabulary? Why is it always in the services? Why is it always? Why wouldn't it be? Because that is our source of life. That is our motivation for life. That is our motivation for the joy, for the peace, for the kindness that we have. And guess what? It is not hard to share what you have. But if you don't have it, you share it. I wanted to share $1 million with someone, I would be in a world of hurt. But if I wanted to share $10 with somebody, now I can do that. I can do that. Yeah. So you can't share what you don't have. You don't have good news, you can't share good news. You don't have a testimony, you can't share a testimony. Hallelujah. If you don't have power, you can't share power. Woo, hallelujah. If you don't have joy, you can't share joy. Glory to God. You don't have kindness, you can't share kindness. You can only share what you have. So now, think about this. If somebody's coming to the piano to deliver me here tonight, woo, what have you been given? Well, I know this for a fact, because I just preached it, and it is God's word. You've only been given what you got. So if you don't know what you've been given, then that means you don't know what you got. And if you don't know what you got, you ain't got it. Woo! Praise God. It's time to get something from God to sustain my life so I can give it away. The motive of great things is charity, the love of God, that Holy Ghost of God abiding in our souls. And then all we do is share all the goodness that God has given us. Praise our God. Let's stand tonight. Father in heaven, I praise your holy name. And I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your power. I thank you, Lord, for your word. God of heaven, I thank you, Lord, that you love us with an everlasting love. God, I ask you, Lord, to move in our hearts and our souls this Christmas season so that we can give. Lord, you gave. You gave your life. You gave your Son, Father. God of heaven, now we want to receive what you have for us so that we can give also. That we can give out of the abundance of the supply from our Father's house. Oh, God of heaven, hallelujah. The riches of your grace, of your glory, of your power, of your forgiveness, of your love. Oh, God of heaven, we rejoice in the greatness of your salvation. Hallelujah. Let us come around the altars. Let us find a place to pray.